The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hope you just enjoyed that riveting need to know. I still have the chuckles. I think
soccer sucks.
I think we said our between soccer sucks and Texas sucks. I think we've got enough sucks for 2025.
You've got to be really bad to get the Kip Kiefer's. This sucks.
Yeah, I mean, because you're a pretty clean guy, considering you talk a lot of politics, and you're on a format, obviously, a Tony Curry format, where you can say anything you want. I don't care. Whenever you say a cuss word, I know that you're getting fevered up, but you're on the front porch. You're getting after it.
Well, I could use a F word to describe how bad it sucks, but I don't do that.
I try to treat this radio station and every radio station I've been on, whether it's Jocks or anywhere else. And I know you do the same thing. I try to pull a Jerry Seinfeld in that. I try to keep it as clean as possible because that way, when you do use a word like that, it means something. You know, if you're up there cussing left and right, and some comedians do that, it's part of their act. I get that, and I laugh at it. It's fine. But if you're one of those people that, uses it and you're using it from an obligatory standpoint, that is the standpoint, just to try to get a response, it doesn't work. So it's got to be, so I do give
you
kudos.
Well, that's my strongest rebuke. When I say something sucks, that means I really don't like it.
Hey, I want to get your thoughts on something real quick. I was sitting here trying to think about what I wanted to get into, and of course, I love talking classic rock with you. Nothing really new in the classic rock world, although Lou Gramm took stage the other night for Foreigner, which I thought was really interesting, and we're hearing some more stories about Ace Frehley. I normally don't like to talk about someone after they're dead, but Ace Frehley passed away several days ago. He actually fell down some stairs, got blunt trauma to his face, his hips, and now Gene Simmons is coming out and said, I can guarantee you he was imbibed. He was doing something he probably should not have been doing. You know what? I mean, he just died, right? I mean, I don't really want to hear that. He said, he basically said, you reap what you sow. And I can guarantee you when the toxicology comes back, we're going to find out why exactly he died. At the age of 76, he falls down some stairs. That's why babies don't die. You know, my 2-year-old fell down some stairs. My wife was at home and he fell down some stairs at the age of 1.5 and he was fine. No big deal. You know, I fall down some stairs, I'm dead meat. You know, I'm 60. I mean, your body just changes when you're a baby, your stuff. Anyway, so I want to get into that. And I wanted to get into some classic football talk with you in just a minute, because I know you're going to take on that. We're going to be doing our K4 Win show tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And I know we're going to be talking about not only Kip's best 12, I'm excited to hear how your best 12 compares to the 12 they came up with. Yes, I know the whole Notre
Dame debacle. Pretty much identical. Yeah. They don't have them in the right order, but of course I have Notre Dame in my top 12, and they left them out because that's their stupid rules.
I got into an argument. Let's start right there. I got a bit of an argument this morning saying the whole, well, that should do it for Notre Dame finally getting into a conference. And I said, listen, we've been having this Notre Dame into a conference debate for 45, 50 years.
Yep.
I know they got the deal with NBC. I know that during COVID they played an ACC schedule. I know that they kind of in cahoots with the ACC. I know that they don't have a championship, and a lot of people say, well, you know, they shouldn't be allowed to play if they don't play for a college football championship. Well, why should they now? Because we just found out that college football championships don't mean anything. The committee even said that if Alabama loses that football game, and you nailed it because you said, you know, the way they moved them around in the poll the week before in week 15, Bama's going to still get in. I was surprised that I thought Bama's still going to get in, but I also thought they were going to lose 20-17. I didn't know they were going to have -3 rushing yards. And look, that was the worst game they played all year long.
And it was 28-7, Tony, but Georgia could have won that game 48-7.
Easy. I mean, and Alabama was punting the football down third 21. That should tell you something. Alabama's punting the football down 21 points in the fourth quarter. What does that tell you about your championship stuff? So, listen, everyone, you can say whatever you want. Notre Dame got screwed. Well, they should have won their games. I get that. I mean, we can go SOS. We can look at all these things. But they got screwed. The thing that really surprised me the most, and we knew it was going to be coming down to Miami and Notre Dame the whole way, and you just been slamming on the committee, but Notre Dame was in front of Miami every single week. Week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4, week 5, until this past week when neither team played and got jumped. Now, if Miami had beaten Indiana earlier in the year, and Indiana just beat Ohio State, and they didn't play a football game, I could give them some points. I could see where they could possibly jump up. But they didn't. That didn't happen. Neither team played. Nope. They got jumped. It was set up that way. I'm happy James Madison got in. I think it's a great story. Do I think they're one of the best 12 teams? No. But I also didn't think Indiana was worth a rip until about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And you can't say they're not the real deal. They played hell. Your son nailed it. He said,
I mean, they beat Ohio State. Is Ohio State the real deal? How is that the certification?
Won by an average of 35 points. I don't know. You know, I that's why we played the game, right? That's why we played the game. I do think Ohio State's got to be one of the best 12 teams. So we're going to look at that.
Well, definitely there. I never disputed that. I their league and the SEC are not comparable.
Yeah.
The SEC is much deeper, much tougher. If you come through an SEC season as opposed to a Big Ten season, it's like night and day.
Yeah. And I will say this. I think more so than just night and day, it's the consistency of having to play. We play a 9-game schedule. That makes it even easier for you because you're playing another team that sucks in the Big Ten. We play 8. We're going to plot to play 9.
You've got 7 teams in your league. Conference games are basically cupcakes.
Yeah, I think when you're playing the best of the best, and you can sit there and say, well, we have Rutgers and you have Kentucky. Okay, that's fine. But when you're playing a league that is consistently better from top to bottom, week after week after week after week after, and this, you're doing the same thing, obviously, I think it plays out. So I will agree with you there. I'm an SEC homer, so I agree.
Yeah, you don't see Rutgers take, you don't see Rutgers take even a middling school like USC or Michigan to overtime.
Yeah.
You saw Kentucky take Texas, who a lot of people are still promoting for the playoffs to overtime. Yeah. You just don't see that.
By the way, 13th, Texas was 13th in that final poll, and they were the second 3-loss team. Alabama, obviously, the first 3-loss team. We didn't think a 3-loss team was going to get in. I still don't think they should have. But I know why the committee does what they do. And I'll be honest with you, Kip, you've been doing sports radio as long as I have been. You're just a slightly older than I am. I'd say we're about the same age. That's what makes this game so great. It's never been fair. It's always been like this.
That's right.
You can go BCS. You can go, we went straight computers. You can go to committees. You can go AP. You can go UPI.
The
USA Today was a newspaper that came out. They started their own damn poll. Then we had the USA Today Coaches Poll.
Yep.
We had split polls. We had teams winning one, but not winning. It's always been a train wreck, and it's always been a blast because of it. It's given us so much great talk. We always talk about loving the chaos. Every single year, with about 2 weeks left, we'll sit around and go, now what if this happens and this happens and this happens? Well, we're going to let a 5-loss Duke play in a blah, 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 blah. And next thing you know, they're winning the ACC. And by the way, kudos to ACC. Fantastic. Way to go, Dabo Sweeney. Thanks. You had the easiest run of your life this year, and you couldn't even win your own conference. It's a lot of fun. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, this is definitely another reason why we have to go to 16. We're going to have the same problems because we're going to be looking at number 16, number 17. We're going to go, why isn't a 4-loss team? It's going to happen. But I will say this. I love it. I think it's great. I love the seat of the debate. I know how pissed off Notre Dame is. I know a lot of Alabama fans have a smirk on their face right now. They're just kind of looking down the floor saying, wow, I cannot believe we actually got in. Kalen DeBoer probably saved his ass, probably saved his job. It's just great. It's great talk. I love it.
Yep. And you see it gets boiled up again with the AP poll that came out. Georgia is number 2 in the AP poll, but not in the college football playoff poll. No. Ohio State, despite losing and not being the conference champion, in the second, arguably, I guess it's the second best conference, but they're still number 2, according to the experts in Grapevine. Georgia, who won the SEC, the toughest conference, they are a conference champion, and they're behind the runner-up in the Big Ten, Ohio State, as is Texas Tech. All those teams have one loss. Georgia and Texas Tech have conference championships. Ohio State doesn't. AP, the writers, put Georgia number two and Ohio State number three the way it should be. I had Ohio State number four. I think Texas Tech won in the Big 12 ranks over their runner-up status in the Big 10. But that's the, like you say, that's the fun of it. That's the debate. And when Ohio State loses, then guys like me can jump up and down and say, see, see, I told you so.
And God, when Ohio State loves
their championship, I'll say, well, I guess they're right.
God love Ryan Day. I mean, he finally gets that Michigan monkey off his back, and then he's taking on an Indiana squad. He can't even win his Big Ten championship. I think it's hilarious. You're not allowed to have everything all in one year.
Tony, they were inside the five twice in the fourth quarter. If they're the best team, they came out with no points on both those drives. Yeah. They went for it once. They gave him a first down and then reviewed it and said he's short. And then you talk about a choke. Ryan Day, fourth and one. And with 3 minutes left in the game, doesn't go for the win. We'll just go ahead and tie the game. And the kid yanks a 21-yard field goal that wasn't even close. No. I mean, you and I would have a tough time missing from 21 yards. That's from here to the wall. It's a chip shot.
It really is. So I want to go through these real quick because we have the four teams, obviously, Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas Tech. By the way, and Texas Tech, kudos to one Tone the Bone, who will let the whole match
there
in.
There you go.
With Texas Tech covering the 12.5.
You even overhaul Case Kiefer, which was quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch that game. Texas Tech, and I said this going on K4 Wins, I love playing great defenses. And you and I both had Georgia, and I really felt like Georgia had not played their best defensive game, and Alabama goose egg in the first half. That defense looked like the Georgia.
And the Alabama offense is horrible. Who can admit that, who's watched them the last few weeks, even in the Auburn game, they weren't good at all offensively.
They can't run the ball, Tony. Let me go through the top 12.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to go through the ranking itself, but I don't want to do that because Notre Dame's actually in there at number 11, but they're not in the playoffs. It doesn't really make a difference. So I want to go through college football. What am I looking for? Championship polls. I want to go through each team, and I want you to tell me if you think that they actually have a shot to win the national title.
All right.
Because I think this is interesting, because I do think every single year we go through these things and we talk about, this year is wide open, it's unbelievable, blah, blah, blah. We'll go from top to bottom. Indiana. Does Indiana have a chance to win a national title?
I guess you have to say they have a chance. I was not very impressed watching them for an entire game. Mm-hmm. Ohio State gave them a couple opportunities and they cashed them in. I didn't know a lot about the one little receiver they have who seems like the only guy he ever throws to, this Becker guy.
I'm going to let you pick as many teams as you want that you think could win the national title. And if you pick 9 out of the 12 teams to win, if you think Indiana's got a shot to win a national title, I'm going to give you credit for them if, in fact, they win the national title.
All right.
So I'm not asking you for just one team. I'm saying, do you think they have a legitimate shot? And then we're going to go back and we're going to look. And I'm going to let you pick as many teams you want because, I mean, obviously, do I think Alabama can win a national title? I don't think so. I don't think they can. Indiana, I do think they have a shot. So go ahead, pick them, and I want to see how close you are.
We'll put Indiana on the shot list, but I will say I don't think Indiana's going to win it.
I like it, though, but I think they do have a shot. Ohio State.
The fact they won it last year shouldn't factor in, but is Ryan Day going to be savvy enough to win two in a row? I say no. No shot.
Okay, no shot. Okay, I love that. Georgia.
Georgia absolutely has a shot.
Absolutely.
Because Kirby Smart is the best coach in college football, bar none, no discussion, no dispute. Kirby Smart's the best coach in college football.
And by the way, when we did the show this past Friday, didn't Case say that Notre Dame would have been a 4-point favorite over Alabama if they played each other?
On a neutral field,
On a neutral field. So, and we're going to have his numbers too. I want to know what are the top 12 best betting teams? People, that doesn't make sense. How could Notre Dame right now on a neutral field would be a 4-point favorite at Alabama, which should tell me that Notre Dame should get in. Alabama shouldn't. I'm glad Alabama's in, but they get deep. Yeah. Texas Tech, could they win the national title?
I say absolutely. Yes.
I do too. I think that is a sleeping dog right now. I think they're playing fantastic. That's the one football team that no one's talking about. Finally, some eyeballs got on them this past week. And if you were watching that game, you thought you were watching the BYU game just several weeks ago when they lost 20-7. It was the exact same game. They had problems in the red zone. They got in a couple more times. But it was the exact same game.
And let's give BYU its props, Tony. This is a really good team.
It is.
This is a team with huge guys, with a, you know, the quarterback is not really a deep threat guy, but he's, you know, he runs the Shabrock Hammer or whatever his name is. But BYU beat everybody else, and they beat some pretty good teams consistently. The only team they couldn't match up with was Texas Tech, who just owned them in two games. But I think BYU was, you know, worthy of consideration in this last four teams thing too.
You did have them in your top 12, I think, until last week.
I finally dropped them out at the end because I finally rational. I put Vanderbilt in the spot that I had them in because I started thinking, as good as Vanderbilt's playing and with Pavia, I think Vanderbilt would beat them on a neutral field.
Well, and I can't wait to hear what you're going to say about this next one, but the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, I think they're unproven. They showed me a lot. I thought they would lose one of their last two games. They had two of the middling Big Ten teams to have to play, USC at home and Washington on the road. I thought they would lose one of those games. They showed me something by beating both of those decent teams. And I'm not going to say good teams. Those are decent teams. Yep. But that was a pretty tough two games to close the year on. Their other signature win was Penn State. And, I'm sorry, all due respect, Penn State and Yankee female sports writers, that they have some really good dudes on that Penn State team. Those really good dudes lost six games in a row and went in the tank. I do not give Oregon credit for beating them in overtime. So Oregon's a mystery to me. Of course, Oregon ends up in the all-time garden spot because they host James Madison in the opening round. So it's a guaranteed win.
But then they got Texas Tech. They got the Red Raiders coming up after. Yeah, that's going to be a hell of a matchup.
That's a lot easier draw than teams like Georgia would have, who would play Ohio State in the semifinals.
Yeah, and to show how much respect James Madison is getting, what is it, 20.5? Is it line?
Is that what it is? Yeah.
That's
crazy. Not enough.
I agree with you. And I think everyone in the world's taking James Madison and go, are you kidding me? James Madison, playoff team, 20 points. Go ahead.
And we'll
James
get down
Madison
to them in a minute. Yeah. I'll give my James Madison take.
That's the point. All right. So far, Indiana,
so
Georgia,
I say
Texas,
Oregon, no chance.
Oregon, no shot. Ole Miss.
If it hadn't been for all the Lane Kiffin, I think Ole Miss, I had them high in my poll. I had them number five and Oregon number six. The offensive powerhouse that Ole Miss is the most explosive team in the entire tournament offensively. Their defense is not a championship defense. And now Pete Golding, who our colleague legend, pretty much single-handedly ran out of the state of Alabama on his Pete Golding rants. I think he even drove him to the border when he left Alabama. With Pete Golding as the head coach at Ole Miss, I think they would have had with Kiffin a real shot at maybe getting to the championship game. Now they have no shot because all the turmoil.
They have no shot. Okay, so Lane Kiffin makes the big difference there. That'd be the sixth seed. A&M, I'm hoping you're saying no. A&M is not going to win a national title, right?
Yeah, we kind of knew what they were before the game against Texas. I hated Texas all year. I even put the stamp Texas sucks on. I picked Texas to beat them in the game in Austin because, you know, they got a lot of credit for the coming back and beating South Carolina when they were down 30-3. That was more South Carolina trying to sit on the lead. But the fact that they were down 30-3 at home, a game that had so many implications and allowed themselves to get into that predicament against a team that at the time was 3-7, that's inexcusable. That told you right there. This
I can't
is
believe
not
Shane
a-
Beamer kept his job after that game. I cannot believe.
I'm calling him Shane Bummer now.
I cannot believe he kept his job after that game.
And I think they just made a calculated decision of, if we get rid of him, who are we going to get? The shelf is empty. So I don't know. But no, I don't think Texas A&M is a contender.
Sneaky. Favored by 2 points over our Alabama Crimson Tide, the 8-9 matchup. By the way, I absolutely love, I can't wait till we get a 16 because this reminds me of March Madness. I just love bracket challenges, bracket football. I love all this bracket stuff. Oklahoma.
Yep. Unless John Mateer comes back to form and they
Do they have a shot at winning a national title?
I mean, if you've got a great defense, you've got a shot, but I don't think this team has enough potency on offense. They're like Alabama. They can't run the ball. That Alabama Oklahoma game might be 13-10, yep. Just like the Big Ten championship. I don't think Oklahoma can win it. I don't think they're complementary team on both sides of the ball.
Then do you believe Alabama can somehow find that running game and somehow play for a national title?
No shot.
Okay, I'm glad that you're being honest here. The University of Miami, the U.
Miami surprisingly has a shot. Miami is a team. If you look at them on both front lines, the offensive and defensive lines have numerous NFL picks in the future coming up. And you say what you want about Carson Beck. Carson Beck is not a great leader, not a great human. I can tell you some stories that I've heard from some people in Athens of how, you know, he had obligations to attend certain events and just stiffed them, didn't show up, didn't call, never apologize. Carson Beck is kind of just a jackass, but
he's a stoner look. You got the stoner look, man. You got the stoner look. I don't trust stoner looks. The eyes are half closed. I don't trust him. Yeah, I don't trust.
But I tell you what, I mean, he's played in enough big games on enough big stages. This is a guy that's a gunslinger. He thinks he can make every throw. They've got a guy that a lot of people probably haven't heard of. I know you have because you follow college football avidly. They have a receiver by the name of Malachi Toney, Tony Curry. I think Malachi Toney is maybe the most talented player in the entire country on that roster.
I agree with you.
And if Carson Beck gets Malachi Toney the ball and lets him do his thing, Miami does have a couple of good running backs, so they're not unable to run the football. This is a team that getting in is a real sleeper. Of course, Bama Hader, who's a irreputable character around these parts, who loathes Alabama football and is a huge Miami fan. He thinks the U is going all the way. I don't think at the end of the day they're going to win it, but I think they certainly have a shot.
Tulane.
And, you know, Tulane's going to be at Oxford for the first playoff game. Mm-hmm. They lost 43-10 there the first time they went. We've already seen this movie. Summerall is a good coach. He's not going to be Florida's coach. Florida can't.
Hey, at least they let him coach. They're letting him coach. Good for Tulane. That's Ole Miss should have taken something from that. Let your coach play. I mean, Tulane. Listen to what you just said. Tulane is playing for a national championship. That's amazing. I don't care how they got there. That's amazing. That they took full advantage of everything they had, and they played.
They beat UAB
could hang that on there. They could hang up a banner saying we lost to the national championship Tulane Green Wave. That's amazing.
Yeah,
it really is.
The difference in the Summerall Kiffin thing is LSU has mortgaged the entire state to pay Lane Kiffin $90 million guaranteed. Summerall's not making anything like that at Florida. So I think there was more leverage there for Florida to say, okay, well, I promise you right now, Florida's not happy about the fact that Summerall negotiated that deal because they probably thought there was a good chance North Texas would knock them out and Summerall would be at his desk right now working on the transfer portal that opens in just a couple of weeks and finishing up high school recruiting. Signing day was just this past week. So that didn't work out very well for Florida to agree to that, but they were kind of desperate at the end here. They needed to get a coach that they thought was credible, and that's probably the concession they had to make for Summerall to be able to continue to coach his team, which is a concession that Kiffin should have insisted on but didn't. I think that says more about Summerall than it does about you know, Tulane, I think Summerall said, yeah, I'll take the Florida job, but I'm not leaving. I've built this team and I'm going to coach him through. That's the position Kiffin should have taken. And if LSU said no, then Kiffin should have said, okay, well, I'm staying at Ole Miss. My opinion.
If you would like to bet on Tulane to win a national title and they do so, you would be getting 750 to one. 750 to one.
That's all? Yeah, should be 7,500 to one. They're not winning.
James Madison is only 500 to one. No, but they're only 500 to one. Tulane.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'd love to see Tulane and James Madison play a football game just, you know, for third place. But James Madison has no shot, right?
Winners of the Sun Belt, no shot. They played two legitimate teams outside of that realm of secondary schools. And remember, that's where Kirk Cignetti, coach of the Indiana Hoosiers, 2 years ago, he was the head man at James Madison. So James Madison's been very prominent in the story. They played at Louisville. They did have the lead in the third quarter before giving up three touchdowns in the last quarter and a half of that game. Louisville beat them by 14. That's the only power conference game they've played this year, and they lost. And the other team they played that was not from that group was just 2 weeks ago. And you remember on K4, I said, I'm taking Washington State at James Madison, getting 13 points.
Yep.
Because at least Washington State, even though they were only in the Pac-2, it was just them and Oregon State. Everybody else was gone. The conference had dissolved. Everybody went to the Big Ten or the ACC. But the bottom line is Washington State going in there as a 13-point underdog, I thought was laughable, because at least they play legitimate teams. They had to play James Madison because those teams were – they and Oregon State had to scramble to find anybody who would play them just to fill their schedule. So they made a ridiculous trip all the way back to the East Coast to play in Virginia against James Madison. And the final score of that game, Tony, Washington State, which ended up being a 5-7 team, I think, James Madison only beat them 2 weeks ago, 24-20. So that tells you right there, James Madison is not competitive on this stage against real teams.
All right, then inside 750 to 1 for Tulane, 500 to 1 for James Madison. These just came out, by the way.
Yeah. How can James Madison be lower than Tulane? That's crazy.
I don't know. Do you want to take a stab at the team that's next, or do you want me to just rip them off to you?
Let's see. Just logically, I would say probably the next highest odds would be Miami. Ole Miss?
Ole Miss. Ole Miss is 22 to 1.
Really?
Oklahoma would be next. So it's Tulane, James Madison. Oklahoma's 50 to 1. Ole Miss is 22 to 1. Miami is also 22 to 1. Alabama is also 22 to 1.
Wow.
If I give you Alabama, Miami, and Ole Miss and some type of trifecta kind of thing at all, 22 to 1, I'm trying to think some type of horse, something or other. Then it's A&M.
Well, you can include those in your pick three.
There you go. I could do some type of Quinella box or something with A&M.
There you go.
A&M is 17 to 1.
See, that's crazy too, because they're just not playing well.
Yeah. Texas Tech is 9 to 1.
That's reasonable.
Oregon is 8 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Ohio State, Georgia, and Indiana. Do you want to take a stab at these?
Oh, I'm sure Ohio State's probably still the favorite.
They are. They are. They are 220. So they're 2.21.
Based on what? They played the worst schedule of any of these teams we're talking about.
Well, they just beat Indiana, and Indiana's got further odds.
Well, Indiana beat them.
Yeah. Indiana. So Indiana's 290 to one. So 2.9 to one.
So what was Ohio State? I was babbling.
Ohio State's 2.2, 220.
Okay.
220. Indiana's 290, and Georgia's 550. So 5.5 to 1.
550?
Yeah.
They're twice as high as those other two?
Mm-hmm.
See, there's your value play right there. Because I told you guys, and I know you guys always give me crap for saying I told you.
Five and a half to one is good value, particularly since we know they made it in.
I told you guys 4 or 5 weeks ago, There's not a team on the board that has such a young group of talent that have come of age and every week are taking huge steps forward. And you look at what Georgia's body of work down the stretch is, and it's pretty damn impressive. This is the kind of team that can can rise up and win the whole thing. And I can't believe they're twice as high odds wise as Ohio State and Indiana. That's just insanity.
You could have taken the easy way out. I told you could pick as many teams as you wanted to give you a better shot at saying, see, I told you. You only picked four teams. Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech, and Miami. And I give you kudos because you thought outside the box. I know a lot of people will not say no to Texas Tech just because we haven't heard enough about them. A lot of people are going to say no to Indiana, which I give you kudos for. I know everyone's going to say Ohio State. And Miami, I think, could be considered a long shot. Again, you know, in a 3 or 4 turnover game, it depends on when that game is. I think we're going to be able to see a lot. But, you know, if somehow we see an upset in this first round of games, and I'm not saying James
Madison
get that done.
Which last year didn't come close to happening.
No, it didn't. No, all four teams lost, right?
Playing on the road makes it 10 times harder for the underdog to win.
Hey, something though, we got a lot of people that listen to the show, and I want to throw this out as a PSA, as a public service announcement. And you and I have actually done a show on this about AI. I was watching 60 Minutes last night. And there was a story on there about this 13-year-old girl who was a straight-A student, a cheerleader, all-around great gal, did the whole Barbie thing, was in the Girl Scouts, the whole nine yards. She commits suicide.
Oh, my gosh.
Late last week. And her parents, she had braces. She was well taken care of from an affluent neighborhood. Had a brother and sister. Her mom and dad loved her to death. Great, hardworking people. Got a hold of her phone and found out that she'd be having these extravagant, very dark conversations with caricature AI, which is it's like a chat GPT, but it's for children, which I don't think we should ever have anything just for children. I think that's just, if you ever see something that's just for kids, look out. And it was crazy because they went through logs and logs of conversations she had with this thing, and what's happening, and we're finding out now, and adults are on board with this. We have adults who are now having conversations and having relationships with AI, and you think it's crazy. These AIs say the right things. They say all these things that kids love to hear. Hey, I think you look really, really nice. I'm sure you're a really sweet person. People should treat you nicer, blah, 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 blah. You hear all that all these wonderful things that kids are always looking for that they get from their mom and dad, but they don't have it. And maybe, you know, and the father said, and this scared the shit out of me. The father said, you know, my daughter would come home from school and she'd be smiling, laughing, and she'd say, yeah, I got homework to do. And she'd go up to her room for 3 or 4 hours. I thought nothing of it. And my daughter does that all the time. My daughter goes, I'm the father. I try to do everything I can as a dad, as a man, to be included in her life. We have a great relationship. We talk about her boyfriends and we talk about her friends and everything else. And I try to spend time with her every single day. We try to have, you know, father-daughter dates and everything else. But my daughter goes up to her room for 2 or 3 hours. To do homework. She does really well in school. And I see where almost every fifth conversation she's having, or every fifth text, if you will, as they go back and forth, had something with sexual overtones to it. This caricature AI, which was specifically made for children, was taking her down a borehole, down a hole of sexually explicit information, getting her to ask her to take her clothes off. It was disgusting. And so I would implore, I don't check my phones, my kids' phones. I didn't do it with my 21-year-old son. If I didn't have a reason to go look and find out what's going on, my son's got his bank account through my stuff. So whatever my boy spends money on, I see what's going on. He's at Clemson now. He's a junior. He's becoming a man. But for the most part, I don't feel the need to go back. My other son doesn't have a cell phone because he'll never have one. But my daughter, I never felt the need to go through and specifically look through her phone. And it's not that I don't trust her. It's that I love her and I don't trust everyone else. That's what I tell my son. It's not that I don't trust your driving. I don't trust everyone else's driving out there. You drive fine. I'm worried about everyone else. So I'm not worried about my daughter doing something wrong. I'm worried about the people doing something wrong to my daughter. And when I heard that story last night, man, I picked the phone up and called her immediately and just said, listen, this is something that is unlike any type of predatory devilish, demonic, whatever you want to call it. The internet's bad enough. And kids can get out of there. There's all kinds of apps where if, you know, a parent locks your phone after a certain time, you can get out of it. Kids are smart enough to realize that they can figure out how to get on Instagram, how they can do. We don't let our daughter post anything on TikTok, although she makes TikTok videos, but she doesn't post them, which I think is kind of strange. And so we're not stupid. We're not idiots. But most parents didn't have social media to the extent of what these kids have today, because most parents are in their 30s and 40s, and they're not on social media unless they're on Facebook talking to grandma or whatever. Yep. And so we're not in that realm. So I would just implore parents out there, if you haven't seen the story, go watch it. It's super important. I've never been one of these knee-jerk, oh my gosh, this is, but it freaked me out last night, man. The first thing I did.
I can't imagine what was going through your mind.
You and I did a show where I was asking you questions and you were answering questions. There is, on this caricature thing, you can put any celebrity you want, and it will pop up as that celebrity. So if you want to have a conversation with Tom Cruise, they did it last night with Travis Kelce. Okay. There are like 15 different Travis Kelce caricatures that pop up. You get to pick which one you want. There's demonic Travis Kelce. There's angel Travis Kelce. There's fat Travis Kelce. There's skinny Travis Kelce. There's naked Travis Kelce. You get to pick the one you want, and based on which character you're picking, that's where the conversation is going to kind of go. And it doesn't matter whether you pick angel Travis Kelce or not. And in most cases, in this particular case, when someone was talking about suicide, when this girl was talking about suicide, not one time, did this thing that's supposed to be smarter than everything else out there say, hey, why don't you go talk to a parent? Or why don't you go talk to a teacher? Or why don't you go talk to a counselor? Mm-hmm. Or why don't you call 911 or call 811? Why don't you go get help? Not one time did it do that. Instead, it told them different ways in order to follow through on the idea of suicide.
There's been a couple of those incidents recently.
Now they're suing Google, and I hope they take them. And if you're going to create something that is so marvelous and wonderful, it's something that is incredibly useful. And I know a lot of people use, I got friends of mine that use AI every single day and they love it. And that's great.
I've gotten used to it too.
Yeah, they write papers. I mean, it's amazing. And you can ask it anything and it'll answer the questions. And it's not always right. But I'm imploring parents out there, if you have a child that likes to get on your phone, please have the conversation with them and let them know that it's not for real. Because we live in a society now, when you go on a date, they don't talk to each other. They text each other from across the dinner table. Kids don't talk to each other. They don't. And with AI coming in just right after COVID, we've already separated ourselves. It was the devil's disease. Please check your phone and tell your kids, hey, listen, AI is not for real. If you need to have a conversation, go have it with a warm-blooded human with flesh and blood in their bones.
Yeah.
And do it the right way.
And look, it's parenting is difficult.
Oh, man.
And it's uncomfortable when you've got teenagers. Even preteens, you have to establish a communication line. It's so much easier as a parent to just, you know, say, well, this isn't a comfortable subject to talk about, but you've got to establish a communication line where you're not afraid to talk about substantive things and get your kid to talk to you about those things.
Please.
It's one of the hardest parts of parenting.
And that's what the AI stuff. Kip, the AI stuff was telling this girl, don't tell your parents. They won't understand. They won't understand what you're going through because they're parents.
Was an honor student who did this recently. They found all the transcripts with AI telling him, he said, well, you know, what if I leave, like, he was going to hang himself. What if I leave, like, one of my nooses out where my mother will find it when she's cleaning my room? He said, oh, don't do that. You know, because he was like looking for a way out of somebody to like talk him out of it. And these things, which I hope to God that it's gotten somebody's attention, that they'll reprogram these things. Because, these are artificial intelligence, but they're programmed somehow to and I use it. Because with my vision issues, it's so much easier for me to do research now of going in, because this is a conglomeration of everything that's out there on the internet. If I have a question about, you know, an all-time series between two teams and what are the highlights of some of the games in these storied matchups, when I do radio and stuff, I love to have little side angles talking about matchups and things. This gives you the most thorough report, but it's in such a conversational style. And you say, wow, that's a great fact. They go, well, thank you. I mean, it's back and forth. It's substantive conversation. it's not just
you would never know it. You don't know it. And I mean, I've been on it within seconds. You think you're talking to a real person. And you know why? Because for the most part, we're doing all kinds of chat. Now, you go to any website, you don't talk to a real person. You talk to either a robot or someone that's in a chat room. And then sometimes they're real, sometimes they're not. I'm betting most times they're not. And so we're used to doing that conversation and having these things answered for us, and even robotically through the phone. No, this thing told her that if she was going to write a suicide letter, to do it in red ink.
Oh my God.
She wrote her suicide letter in red ink. Because they were like, well, she don't write. How did she get a red ink pen? She went and bought a red ink pen just so she could write this thing down. I mean, it's super scary stuff. And the thing is our country, as free and as wonderful as we are way too young and way too stupid. We're like a 2-year-old being told to keep our hands out of the cookie jar. All these other countries have already put rules and regulations and ramifications on stuff from the government standpoint, and we haven't done that. And I don't know if we're going to do that. I know Donald Trump is now saying that he's actually going to penalize states because he wants free speech. I'm like, dude, this is not about free speech. This is about protecting our 12-year-old kids who are on with a computer telling them to kill ourselves. I mean, this is some spooky stuff. The two guys that actually started this whole ChatGPT thing were with Google 6 years ago, and they were trying to sell their company to Google, and Google said, we don't want to do this because there's too much liability. We're going to have people, this is, you're letting this monster out of the bag. And so they decided to go off and do their own thing because they didn't want to have overview. They didn't want to be overrun by government restrictions and everything else because it was going to ruin the product. They wanted to go all the way out there, and they knew that it was going to be pulled back, and they wanted to see how far they could, they said that we wanted to see how far they could go with it before it got pulled. They're now working with Google again. And now, of course, ramifications. If you mention the word suicide, then you know the 911 stuff comes up. But it's
from a technical and practical standpoint, it's the most exciting technology ever.
It's incredible
because as far as medical information and technical information on how to build things and construct things, it's the greatest resource ever invented. But we've got to get away from this. You've touched on it before. There are people that are so pathetic in terms of their despondency of not being able to connect with other humans that I saw one of the services now is introducing a sexual component where you can, go on with some dirty talk. And this thing is right. It fosters the pseudo relationships, which that is not healthy.
No, and Ash Galjar and this. So easy to get around the lies. I mean, this thing was particularly created just for all ages. Now, I'm going to say not for children, but it was created for all ages. It was rated G. Yeah. It was rated G is what it was.
And so I haven't heard of the caricature thing. That's hauntingly scary stuff. And you as the father of a teenage daughter, I can't imagine how traumatic that is to just think about what do I do?
Yeah. No, it's scary stuff. It's super hard being a parent, but you know what, Kip? It's even harder being a child right now. It is. I'm so glad. I'm so glad we didn't have the internet.
I mean, our lives were not very complicated.
No, you and I would sit there and look at each other for 4 hours Thursday afternoon after school and say, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Let's play ball. And then next thing we played ball until it got dark. We went inside, watched, Happy Days and went to bed.
Batman.
And then went to bed and called it a night and then worried about pimples and our test the next day. So anyway, all right, great stuff.
Yeah, and if we wanted to talk to a girl, we had to call and talk to their dad. Hello.
Assuming we didn't have a party line. Sometimes we had a party line with a next door neighbor, so we'd pick up the phone and yes, we actually had to share the phone with people across the street. The Beelys are still on the phone. Okay, well, hang up. Let me know when we use these things to a party lines. People are like, what the hell are you buying?
Well, hang in there. I wish I had some great advice, but I can say to you and other people with young kids is that you got to keep the lines of communication open and they need to feel comfortable knowing they can say anything to you and you're not going to overreact. That's the key.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, my friend, we'll get after K4 wins tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Can't wait to hear your best 12. Well, I've got your four teams here, I think, that can win a national title. I'll be interested to see what Kai and Kay say about that. And then we'll get after it. We have another starting lineup show going on Saturdays. I know we're going to be doing our show next week. I'll let everybody, you gonna take some time off of the holidays. Hell no, we ain't taking no time over the holidays. We will be off the week of Christmas, but we'll be there on New Year's Eve.
This is a sweatshop. TKR sweatshop,
my friend. That's right. No stinking holidays around here. People want new content. They want to hear Kip Kiefer doing Need to Know. They're going to get it fresh. fresh material here every single week during the holidays. So don't think you're going to get away from anything. All right, my man. Have yourself a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Tony.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.